Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, the FBD Young Farmer of the Year 2016 winner was announced recently, and the overall award went to Kevin Moran of Mayo. The Young Tillage Farmer of the Year was Stephen Robb from Donegal. I've been speaking to him about the whole experience and what it meant to him, and also the difficulties in the tillage sector, particularly for people in Donegal at the current moment. Stephen Robb, you have been named as the FBD Young Farmer of the Year in the tillage category. Congratulations. It's a great honour for you.
Thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted with the award, I have to say. It certainly took our mind off things anyway for a while.
Now, just tell us a little bit about the process. Many people have heard of this competition, which has been going for many years. FBD have backed it and a number of other organisations. How did you hear about it and who encouraged you to go for it?
Yeah, so the FBD Young Farmer of the Year Award, I think they've been going for 18 years now, and backed by FBD. So it was a number of months ago. A friend of mine approached me, and she would be fairly well up in Macra, and she tried her hardest to convince me to go for the competition. And I was reluctant at first, to be perfectly honest with you. And she tried and she kept going. And I said, right, I'll go for it. And I entered it. And I was a late enough application now. Yeah, I obviously applied for the tillage sector. And I kind of skipped the initial round of interviews, we'll say. So I suppose the competition starts at county and at club level. So it's obviously through the macro clubs. I suppose initially you have a short interview and a quick farm visit, we'll say, by your club. And if you're so successful, you can go forward into the semi-finals. So I actually skipped all that and went straight into the semi-finals. So I did. So everyone's encouraged to enter, every young farmer, whether it be a dairy farmer, beef, tillage, sheep, pigs, poultry, you name it. And I was going for the tillage category. So the semi-final interviews were actually held down in Chagas in Oak Park, which was handy enough because I'm completing the Masters there as well at the moment. And I went in and I did the interview. And there's a number of other competitors doing it with me on the same day, Chris. So I was sitting in front of representatives from Chagas, from Macra, and from IFAC Accountants. So the semi-final interview was really, I wouldn't call it a grilling, but you need to know your stuff inside out. They're essentially asking you about your farm and about, I suppose, general, for me it was tillage, so general agronomy questions, and they went into some fairly detailed aspects of our farms, cost and returns, spray programs, why did you do this, why did you do that, and then so was your future ambitions and whatnot, and it touched, of course, on health and safety. So that was the semi-final round interview. Look, it lasted about 20 minutes or so, and I kind of came out of it thinking no more of it, to be perfectly honest with you. And I met a few other tillage farmers from around the country, and it was good. It was a great experience. And then on the 7th of September, we descended into the Boyne Valley Hotel and Country Club in County Louth for the final. So that was all the semi-finalists from every category, beef, dairy, sheep, you name it. There's 33 in total. So we all descended there at lunchtime, and the winner of each category was announced. And I won the tillage category, and the other winners were announced as well as two wild cards were chosen. So that was essentially six of us through to the final. And the other semi-finalists, they went out for a farm visit of last year's winner. Now, the final interview then, it was held that afternoon, Chris, and it was a step up, certainly. We were in front of six judges. So we had Michael Hoey of Country Quest, representatives from Farmers Journal, Board B, UCD, Macra, and IFAC as well. And I suppose the structure of that interview was centered around a number of themes, Chris. So obviously it was about your farm. Your costs and returns was a huge theme. You had to show that you had a solid grip on your finances. And then I suppose your challenges and your future ambitions, where you want to see the farm going and whatnot. General knowledge, innovation, community involvement, and health and safety was also a very big theme of it. And yeah, that lasted about 40 minutes, give or take, and well, it was a fantastic experience, certainly. You know, you think it'd be intimidating in there, but it wasn't, because they were all 100%, they're all very, very decent people. And then that night, the overall winner was announced at a banquet held in the hotel. And it was a great night, so it was, certainly. The winner, Kevin Moore from Mayo, was undoubtedly deserving of the overall title. He worked very hard now from a very young age. And, yeah, it was a fantastic experience, Chris, I have to say.
And as well as the honour of winning the title, you've also won a €500 travel bursary.
Yeah, absolutely. I only kind of found out I won that a week after. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do with it just yet now, but we'll figure it out. It's great. I think I'm fairly happy that I brought the tillage title home to Donegal, because I suppose down the country, the tillage scene in Donegal, it's not really noticed. But to be honest with you, some of the best growers in the country up here. The conditions that we deal with, I mean, you have to be at the top of your game. Certainly, the bulk of the tillage is concentrated in the south and the southeast, and that's for a number of reasons. But now bringing the title home to Donegal will hopefully put us a bit more on the map.
Tell us a little bit about your own background, about the farm, of where exactly it is, and the size of it, and what exactly you're doing on the farm.
So we're farming in Drumboy Farm, and just looking at it in Newton and Cunningham, which is on the Lagan Valley, as you know. So we're covering approximately 900 acres, and that's ranging from our own ground to share farm ground to contracted ground, so contract full farm, contracts double to stubble. We've been growing a variety of crops, ranging from winter barley, winter wheat, spring barley, spring oats, pardon me, spring oilseed rape, which is cold-pressed into Donegal rapeseed oil, and we'd also do a number of operations for Doherty's Potato Limited, who produces potatoes. We try to do the job as best we can.
And when you say we, are there other family members? How many of you are involved?
So at the moment there is my father, me and Rob, and my uncle Kieran, Rob, and as well as that, my uncle would chip in as well, Brendan. And then you have myself. So at the moment, I'm kind of darting between the farm and between Chagas, because I'm completing a master's here at the moment, a master's in agricultural innovation support, looking into bioenergy, energy crops. So as I say, we believe in maximising efficiency and trying to get as much as possible from our ground. But it doesn't matter what you've done this year, it doesn't matter what kind of operator you are this year, the weather conditions have just been absolutely diabolical. We haven't had a chance this harvest at all. We haven't had a harvest this harvest at all, which is much different from down south, I have to say.
You're relatively young, so I mean, I'm sure this is the worst harvest you've ever seen, the worst weather for this time of year.
Well, absolutely. Say I'm 23. I haven't lived through the 1985, that's the reference year for the diabolical year that was. But certainly, from chatting to local farmers, from chatting to my friends, you know, it's definitely comparable, you know.
Just out of interest, when you were talking to the other farmers at the awards, and you mentioned there the south and the southeast, their experience is quite different this year, in so far as some of them nearly drought-like conditions in places. They had it pretty dry.
I'm gonna sicken every listener by saying this, but yeah, there was definitely drought-like conditions down around the southeast, especially in terms of grass growth. Grass was set back because of the lack of rain. We just have to acknowledge now that we're living in a country with two climates. You have the south and the southeast, and you have the west and northwest, certainly.
How have you adapted on the farm this year, given that the conditions have been so difficult? You've obviously had to change your plans as the year has progressed.
Yeah, I suppose, this year is exceptional, but even if you look at the past, say, 5 years, I mean, the harvests have been getting much trickier. The weather windows have been getting much more narrow, we'll say. And for that reason, we have to be able to jump whenever the weather permits. We don't have the luxury of waiting. Therefore, we can get a large amount of work done in a relatively short space of time. And you'll find that is the case of a lot of Donegal tillage farmers as well. If a southern farmer came up to our operation or came up to any Donegal man's operation, he would think we're mad, maybe because of the amount of machinery that we have, or maybe comparable acreage compared to the south. But there's no other way of doing it. So there isn't. We have to be able to jump whenever the weather windows allow us. This year is just exceptional. You're chatting, cutting maybe for 2 or 3 hours a day, and that's it. I wouldn't say there's a shortage of contractors. I wouldn't say there's a shortage of machinery. I know the IFA have launched an initiative to bring combines up from the south to help us out with the harvest. But to be perfectly honest with you, Chris, our problem isn't the lack of combines. Lack of combines, big or small, a problem is the ground conditions. So it is. We just cannot get onto the ground given the recent weather conditions. That's going to have huge knock-on effects as well. The damage that we're doing to the soil is we're going to feel it next year. There's no doubt about it. But we have no choice. It's either that or lose the crop. And there are crops being lost, and there are significant yield penalties being experienced by us up here. Anything that's lying is beginning to rot, and anything that's been lying for a while is beginning to rot. And a year of tight margins and a year of low prices, every little bit is valuable to us. So that's, even losing the straw is a huge loss. So it is. And I say, Chris, it's an incredibly challenging year. So it is.
And unless things pick up in the short term, What's the worst case scenario? I mean, how much of the harvest could be beyond saving?
See, there's different estimates coming out. Some people will say 60% left to be cut. Some people will say 30% left to be cut. And that very much depends on the grower. So it does. I do know that there's crops not even beginning to, just coming into, I suppose, the process of ripening now, very, very late. If the weather conditions don't pick up, we are certainly going to lose it. On our own farm, we could be looking at a 30% loss if the weather conditions don't pick up. We just about got the spring oats today, and that was incredibly lucky. I know that there's neighbours of ours who have unfortunately lost their spring oats due to lodging, due to sprouting, and it's just not worth harvesting. But of course, the late harvest is going to have knock-on effects for the autumn drilling, and we're already seeing that, so we are. If we don't get Roundup soon, we're going to be sowing an awful lot later, which is going to have knock-on effects, certainly, for next year.
Going ahead, do you think people will be tempted to look maybe at different varieties of crops and maybe change their outlook and go for something that is less prone to be affected by the bad weather?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. And this harvest, it doesn't really matter what variety you have in. But certainly you'll be looking at early varieties. You'll be trying to look for, I suppose, the varieties that are resistant to the lodging and whatnot. I mean, going forward, yeah, I can see acreage dropping, certainly, here in the northwest and in the west. Unproductive parts of the field, that's going to lose us money. I mean, we have to look seriously hard about them and see whether or not there's something else we can put in that place. Glass 3 is opening up now in October/November, so I mean, that could be a credible option for those areas of the field that are non-productive. whether it be wild burrow cover or the likes.
And finally, Stephen Robb, FPD Young Farmer of the Year for the tillage sector. You mentioned about the masters that you're studying at the moment and the whole area of bioenergy and fuels. This is something that has great potential, and no doubt you see opportunities here in the Northwest.
I absolutely do. There's no doubt about it, and indeed around the whole country as well. But Chris, if someone asked me, and people have been asking me, will they plant a field of willow tomorrow, or will they plant a field of miscanthus tomorrow, I tell them the same answer I'm going to tell you, and that's no, because the market's not there yet. We haven't developed the market and the infrastructure just yet. Now, the reason why I am, I suppose, conducting this piece of research is due to the fact that hopefully next year the RHI, the Renewable Heat Incentive, is going to come into play, pardon me. And basically what that is going to reward users for every kilowatt hour of renewable heat which they produce and which they use. So in theory, that's going to create an increased demand for biomass, for willow chip, for forestry thinnings, for miscanthus and whatnot. But I would hold tight, to be honest, I'd hold tight until that comes in, until we can actually see a demand. The growers around the country of miscanthus, of willow, have been stung pretty badly, to be honest with you. Miscanthus, bar one or two cases, has been a disaster down south. Willow, I think, has huge potential in this country. There are a number of growers around Donegal who are growing it. Another number of growers have actually ripped it out because of lack of market. But as I say, yes, it does have potential, but just hold on. We just have to wait. We have to wait for the market to develop.
Stephen Robb there. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle steer base €3.75 a kilo, heifers €3.85 a kilo, €3.90 being paid. Bulls €3.65 to €3.90 a kilo, cows €2.90 to €3.40 a kilo. And the lamb factory prices, supplies tighter after 2 weeks of large kills. Factories paying €4.80. Indeed, €4.90 a kilo paid, and ewes €2.50 to €2.70 a kilo. That's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. Many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.